number one. From the number one college town in the Big 12. Big 12. We're back with the Purple Project Podcast with Eddie Greer.
The Purple Project Podcast is on. Going behind the scenes of Kansas State athletics, from the action on the gridiron to the octagon of doom, and much more. Plus, making rounds about the happenings in the community. Triple P is loud and proud and ready to take charge in the Big 12 Conference. Podcasting to the Little Apple, Kansas City, and the world. It's the Purple Project Podcast. And now, here's your host, Eddie Greer III.
What's up, K-State Nation? This is the Purple Project Podcast here in Manhattan, Kansas. Eddie Greer III lives in Manhattan, Kansas. The Purple Project Podcast, all about K-State athletics and what's happening around the community as well. This is episode 18 of the Purple Project Podcast. And we are slowly inching closer to September 12th, if we can get there. There's been a lot of stuff happening, including more COVID cases here in Manhattan, cases rising, well, mainly on campus, with the sororities and fraternities being the main difference in that as well. And obviously, we'll get to all that here on this edition of the podcast. And I'm going to go ahead and bring on my co-host, as usual, out there living. He doesn't live here in Manhattan. He used to be, but he's living out there, out west, San Diego. Alex, what's going on, man?
No, not a lot's going on, Eddie. I gotta tell you, I miss the Manhattan days. I miss the days walking on campus, you know. And I mean, you know what the best thing was, Eddie? A fall day. Let's go with a Friday. Friday's a good day. A fall Friday afternoon, walking through the quad on campus. Oh my gosh, you just can't beat it, Eddie. The leaves are changing, it's crisp, air's crisp, football's on. Oh man, you can't beat it, Eddie. But you know what? I'll take sunny and 75 every day out here in San Diego. It's a good trade off. I'll take 75 and sunny. If I can't have those falls on campus, but everything is good out here. I will say this: everybody thinks that California doesn't have allergies, Eddie, and California does have allergies, and they're bugging me today. So I apologize if I sound like I have a frog in my throat or something. I don't know what blew in last night in San Diego County, but it's decided to have an effect on Mr. Ayton. So just bear with me if you hear me clogging. Frog in my throat or me clearing it up. But we got a lot of things to talk about, Eddie. We got, you hinted on it, but there's a lot has happened since we've talked last.
Yeah, yes it has. And yeah, allergies, they get me too sometimes. But yeah, the weather over the weekend, we had thunderstorms Saturday early morning. Woo! Lightning, heavy rains. I was traveling. Well, okay, so I'm fresh from the 5K over the weekend. Well, it happened yesterday as we record this podcast. Fresh from the overall W at Abilene. It was supposed to be on Saturday morning, but heavy, heavy rains, lightning, and the race director decided, hey, we're going to move it over to the next day, which I'm glad he did not cancel it. It was the first race over in Abilene, first time doing it there. He lives in Abilene, so very good atmosphere Sunday, cooler temps, and it was even foggy at that as well. So running through the fog and running through the cemetery towards the end of that 5K actually wasn't that bad, but it kind of had
from front lights.
yeah, kind of had that football.
Remember the Titans. Remember not Friday Night Lights. Remember the Titans when they're in their training camp or whatever it was that Coach Boone took them, and then they went running through that foggy cemetery at like what, 4 a.m?
somewhere like that. Yeah, this was a little bit later than that, but yeah, so that was a lot of fun to go over there for the kickoff Sunday morning with a little run before going to church there. And yeah, so, and obviously we have, well, thankfully, at least here in town, the Bill Snyder Half Marathon will happen next Monday. So it was supposed to be scheduled for May, obviously because before this pandemic happened. So a lot of runners are excited for that as well. I'll have more. I'm planning on a bonus episode on that solo style if I have time for that, but I'm planning on that. So, but definitely coming off that, and obviously coming off a before jumping in to the rest of this episode, I just got done, Alex, having a little conversation with my 6-month daughter. So that was funny and interesting at the same time. So
it looks like on the verge of saying "Dada." Is that right, or is it "Daddy"? What was she on the verge of saying, Eddie?
"Dada." She is constantly saying that. So which to
the mother?
Yeah, which is to the mother's displeasure of that. So. No. Yeah.
You're supposed to teach it mama and then dada after that. So then you get the points with the wife, and then you're also teaching it to talk. Win-win.
yep. So got some extra bonus points on that one. I haven't even gotten to that point yet, but yep, she's a quick learner. But speaking of quick learners, I want to go back a little bit. Obviously, yesterday, and even KU did this, on their campus, Black Lives Matter. Obviously, have to revisit this a little bit once again here on the Purple Project Podcast. Obviously, Jacob Blake, and I'm not going to dive into all the details. We all, if you've been living under a rock, folks, then I would encourage you or would tell you to go straight to the news where all that information is at. But once again, the students on campus doing a nice job. Did their march yesterday, if I'm not mistaken. Pictures are out on social media on the K-State Twitter handle. You can find that. But Chris Kleiman, we talked about it here on this podcast, Alex, leading the charge and doing it strongly, doing it the right way. So, yeah, there's been a lot of chatter, not just around college football, but obviously NASCAR, to a lot of people's disappointment after leading the charge, has backed off a little bit. But the NBA, huge stance given to the Milwaukee Bucks, who lost right before hopping on his podcast to the Miami Heat in Game 1, by the way, as we're recording. So, yeah, so the NBA, the Major League Baseball, Mookie Betts, and a couple others leading the charge there. Not happy, and we have to revisit this issue once again. It's kind of like I said earlier this summer here on the Purple Project Podcast about living in cycles. I mean, the message is not, for whatever reason, it's just kind of like the whole wearing mask, situation that, you know, K-State opened up there. I mean, yes, they're two different situations, but, I mean, people, they're not getting it. If you're going to go to K-State football, home football game this year, you got to wear your mask the entire time, or otherwise K-State is going to really crack down on you. Seriously, here on this issue, Black Lives Matter, here, just the whole coming together of the campuses and things like that, they want to continue to get the message across, and not only to Manhattan, Lawrence, San Diego, wherever you guys are living at, but this is getting to a point where, you know, athletes like LeBron James and others, I can't remember his first name, the Utah Jazz player who went off yesterday and forced in Game 7. I know his last name is Murray. I can't think of his first name. You probably, Alex, you're in the NBA, so you can probably figure it out. But yeah, just the message. This has to be an everyday thing. This can't be a once a week type of thing, and everybody just, oh, you know, we're just gonna forget about it. This is too much serious of a situation here that with the situation in Wisconsin, and we all know what happened throughout the summer, that we just need, this needs to be everyday situation.
Yeah, you know, Eddie, I was having a conversation actually with my mom over the weekend, because I decided to go up and stay with the parents for the weekend. Actually, side note, I took Ella up there to meet our animals. animals to get their introduction. So that was a good time. But I was up there and I had a conversation with my mom, and I said, I can't remember any time in my lifetime where there has been so much, where things have been so uncomfortable in the world. And it doesn't necessarily mean, Eddie, that uncomfortable is a bad thing. That's not necessarily what that means. But
right.
Never been in a time where things have been so uncomfortable in the world. You know, in my mom's state, it kind of feels like the 60s again. You know, back when, you know, this was at the forefront, obviously in a much different context than we're seeing it, you know, now. Maybe not even in that much different of a context, but given the recent events that have happened now compared to the recent events in the 60s, you know. But either way, she said, I can't in my lifetime, you know, recall a time where things have been so uncomfortable. And there's no doubt about it, Eddie, that the pandemic has also been a huge contributor to that. And 2020, when you throw in the pandemic, when you throw in the racial injustice stuff that's going on, we're never going to forget 2020. 2020 is going to be a year that you, me, our listeners are going to remember for the rest of their lives, for good or for bad, to be determined. Right now it sure feels like for bad, but maybe it is for good. You know, if what is happening right now does spawn spawn some type of change, then it could be looked at as a positive. But kudos to K-State sports, all the sports who took part yesterday in their march across campus. That was a beautiful thing to see. Saw it with the basketball team, Bruce Weber. Saw it with the football team, Chris Kleiman. Saw it with other teams. I believe the women's basketball team was out there as well. And I think there were some other teams too. I feel bad. I know I'm not going to name every team. So I'm just going to say I know there are multiple teams out there. But I know particular football and basketball because I saw each of their respective Twitter accounts tweeting pictures of them. And I saw some of the women's basketball players in photos. So I know that they were out there too. But I'm sure there were others. But point being, you know, great job by them to go out and to you know, say that, you know, that there's a problem, you know, in this country, and, you know, it needs to be addressed. And I was telling my mom, I said, I'm a huge Damian Lillard fan. You talked about the NBA. I'm a Portland Trail Blazers fan. Everybody knows me, knows I am. And my favorite player in the NBA is Damian Lillard. I'm sure I'm biased because I'm a Blazers fan, but he's my favorite NBA player. And I told my mom, I said, I thought that he had a really fitting jersey that he wore when they were in the bubble. And I don't know how many people caught on to it, but, you know, you can have the NBA, you can have a bunch of different, you know, names above the jersey, different for racial injustice. And he chose how many more. And there were other players wearing how many more, but Damian Lillard wears number zero, or wears the letter O for Oakland, actually, more specific, but he wears number zero. So his jersey, it said how many more, and below it, it was zero. And I thought that was, you know, I don't know how many people caught on, but I thought, you know, that's really, you know, I hope that resonates with people, because how many more should there be? There shouldn't be any more. And so, you know, every time I saw that out there, I thought, you know, that's what came in my mind, and I hope that's what came in other people's mind. I don't even know if Damian thought of that when he did it, but I know that it was something that I sure saw, and I hope others did, because the fact of the matter is, Eddie, it's just, you know, it's just happening too much, and you know, I'm with you, Eddie. We're, you know, we won't go too far down that road, because you're right, you can talk for days upon days.
Yeah.
You
know, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And you could talk about everything that people post on social media and this and that. I've been really vocal. I do that. You know, there's a lot of good stuff on social media, but there's a lot of toxic stuff on social media from both sides. It can be hard to it can be hard sometimes to use that as a good barometer because there's so much just toxic hate on there. And there's it's really not a lot of conversations. It's really just a lot of people trying to make a point. And ultimately, I feel that conversations are the way to progress this forward, and that's exactly what K-State was doing with their march yesterday, is they were out there, they were having conversations and in the march, and that is the basis of this thing. The Milwaukee Bucks, they boycotted, and they had conversations with state legislators while they were boycotting. And when the NBA boycotted, they were consulting with people on how to move forward, so they were having conversations. They didn't just boycott and say, well, we're mad, we're boycotting, and that's it, that's that. You know, I'm right or you're wrong in a discussion. You know, that's not how that went. So, you know, kudos to them, and, you know, you can feel however you want about boycotts or things like that, but you know what? They understand that they have a platform that they can use, and that's what they did. And, you know, it's equivalent to what K-State football did earlier in the summer with what happened with the comment on social media. And they boycotted team activities and said, we're not showing up until the university comes up with a plan to address this. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, right, yep.
Yeah, so, you know, that's you know, whether you like it or not, they're using their leverage for action. And that's what people want, is they want action. Kudos to the K-State. Like I said, kudos to them, because athletic teams, they came out and they, showed their support for Black Lives Matter and what's going on, and understand that this is bigger than sports. And as much as I love sports, there are things that are bigger than sports. And so, wherever you sit on this topic, on this discussion, everybody's entitled to their own opinion, and I totally understand that. And you know, it's a difficult thing to deal with. It really is a difficult thing, because I've told you, Eddie, I have the utmost respect for law enforcement, and I have the utmost respect for these athletes and for African Americans. And it's been hard on me. It's divided me, and it's hard because I can't understand the other side, because I haven't walked in the shoes of so many of these athletes and so many, you know, of these people. And so, it's difficult. But I think Patrick Mahomes, you know, because I'm a Chiefs fan, so why not pull out another Chiefs analogy here? It's really not an analogy. It's what he said. You know, he said that it's just been too long. And, you know, ultimately, you just want the world to be a place that's equal. Equal to everybody. And I think we all can agree on that. You know, we just want a world that everybody's treated equally. You know, everybody's treated with respect. And that's what we should strive for. So, and I think we all agree. So, kudos to K-State for coming out and essentially supporting that. We want a world where everybody's treated equally. And we understand our platform. And we're going to use our platform to bring awareness to it, and we're not just going to, you know, sit on the sidelines for this. We're not going to come out. We're not going to say any crazy, you know, we're not going to come out. We're not going to be divisive. You know, we're not going to say these divisive statements. You know, we're not going to make the news because we said something crude about it or something like that. We're going to make the news because we went out and we did this the right way, and we had conversations, and we did things to take action to bring awareness to this, like the NBA did as well. So kudos to them. Proud of the university, proud of the athletic programs for what they did.
You're listening to the Purple Project Podcast.
Yes, kudos indeed to our K-State athletics crew for doing that. And again, well said, Alex. All right, so kind of transitioning from that to what I mentioned a while back at the start of this episode of the Purple Project Podcast with Eddie Greer, The third here in Manhattan, Kansas. Alex Aiden out there in San Diego, California. A couple of K-State alums slash Wildcat 91.9 radio station alums as well. So COVID here locally over the past week really taking another huge hit, but mainly with there was a point in time this summer that I've kind of talked about this here on the Purple Project podcast that it was with students coming back. Now I didn't say specifically sororities and fraternities. I said students in general. It'll be interesting to see. I mean, it's on tape. Go back and listen to one of those episodes of the Purple Project if you have not already, because there's been a lot of good content, good conversation between me and Alex. Good episodes. If you have missed out on any of the episodes, go back, check that out on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Audioboom, wherever you download your sports podcast. But yeah, COVID has taken over. Well, not quite taken over, but has invaded sorority houses and fraternity houses here in Manhattan. And me and Kate, my wife, were talking about over the weekend that once a sorority person, a member, gets affected, how are they quarantining that person? Are they going home? But we mentioned on this podcast that, you know, I know you talked about it some, that the player, when it comes to football, being on campus is the best place to be. Because you go home, you infected, you can definitely infect. And we've seen this COVID thing, how it works. We all know this by now. It's been here in the United States. It's still going to play a factor for quite some time. And I didn't really think about this until over the weekend when Kate brought it up. But, you know, they might be having that person stay at least quarantined somewhere, have a private room or something to keep away from everyone else from getting the COVID. So right now, and obviously here in Manhattan, Alex, the mandatory for masks has been demanded through the end of the year. So the mask is all required. And obviously, I think it was late last week also that they were going to keep a very close eye on the students walking around campus without masks on. So that's not good there on that front right there. So right now, once again, sorry to keep on banging the drum here on the podcast, but we got to talk about it again. It's affecting K-State. This time with the sororities and frat houses. Now, I do not know, Alex, I don't know which the frats and sororities have been affected. I don't know the names of them yet as of the recording of the podcast, but there's been quite a bit of some students getting hit with this pandemic.
Yeah, you know, Eddie, I think that there's been, because we've had the coronavirus around, it hasn't been that long, but it feels quite long, too.
It feels like we had it for a year already.
And so, you know, I think that a lot of people, people haven't forgotten that the coronavirus is out there, but, you know, people are trying to, you know, move on with their lives and live their lives. School, obviously one example. I've been someone who's come out and said I think that, you know, schools should try their hardest to find a way to make in-person learning happen, because it's hard to not have school for over a year. It's hard on the students, whether it's elementary, middle school, high school, college, doesn't matter what it is. So, you know, I'm a proponent of that, but at the same time, Eddie, you know, I've seen, and I can't speak for there, but I know at least in some of the things that I've seen, it feels like some people are taking the guards down a little bit. And not saying that's what happened to K-State, but you know, it feels like that's kind of happened because people have kind of, you know, just kind of been a little complacent because we've had this around so long, and all of a sudden the messages start to fall on deaf ears of this and that. But ultimately, we knew it. We knew when school started there were going to be outbreaks within the campus community somewhere, some way, or some form, way, shape, or form. You know, we just knew when you put 20 plus thousand students back. In K-State probably doesn't have 20,000+ back on campus. I'm not sure exactly how many they actually do have on campus right now and how many are just doing strictly online. But still, when you have thousands upon thousands on campus living in dorms or fraternities or sororities or, you know, off-campus housing, you know, you're gonna, it's gonna happen. It's just gonna happen. I think we all knew that. And Eddie, I think that's why we said, let's see how this football thing goes once school starts, because we knew that there were gonna be positive cases. It was just inevitable. The question was, you know, what would those outbreaks look like? How many would there be? Would they impact the football team? Would they impact, you know, these other teams? And for K-State so far, they've had seven positive cases, and they're moving, you know, they're moving along. Business is, you know, my business, everything's normal. You know, that's really all they can do at this point. Texas Tech, they got it worse. They got 21 cases. I was telling you that earlier.
Yeah, you're telling me that before we started recording. Yeah, I was like, whoa, you know, yeah.
21 cases at Texas Tech and 9 cases at Oklahoma. It looks like there's 13 at Baylor. So, you know, you knew that this was going to happen. I think that the question now, you know, looking at it from a sports perspective, is how many positive cases can the Big 12 conference and the other conferences for that matter, how many can they absorb and be able to safely play a season? We heard Chris Klieman come out, and he said prior to the testing on Wednesday, because K-State gets their tests done on Wednesdays, he said, this is the concern. He said, this is the concern starting this round, this upcoming Wednesday. I think his press conference was, I think I heard it from last Monday or Tuesday. He said, this is where we officially begin to worry, really, about these tests and what the results are going to be that come back. Because K-State was clear. They were in the all-clear prior to last Wednesday with no cases, and then they had seven. And so, you know, what does the next week look like? You know, that's the question. You bring up a great point. How are they quarantining, isolating, you know, how are they handling those situations? You can't quarantine an entire fraternity house. You know, you can't quarantine an entire spring. Or maybe they are, and I look stupid right now. I'm like, what are you talking about, Alex? That's exactly what they're doing. And I'll go, okay, I apologize. That is what they're doing. But point being is, it gets to a point, you know, this thing spreads so quick that the risk is it spreads through a fraternity house. You don't quarantine everybody in that house. Someone's going to go on campus. They're going to have it. They're not going to know they have it. Students can't get tested every day like an NFL player, Eddie. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They just can't. And so you're going to go on campus. You're not going to know you have it. You're going to pass along to someone else who's going to pass along to someone else who's going to pass along to Skylar Thompson, who's going to go pass it along to Joe Urban, and then he's going to go pass it along to the whole offensive line. I mean, that's just, you know, that's how it can happen. And so, yeah, we're not in the clear. I think that's the biggest thing, Eddie, is that this week has been has really shed light on the fact that we're not in the clear. Yes, football is scheduled to begin a week from Saturday for K-State. That's awesome. That's great. I'm super pumped. I'm super excited. I'm also a little scared that we may not make it. So hopefully we can. Hopefully K-State can get it under control. But all along, we knew this was going to be the issue, Eddie, was this issue with students on campus. And to, quite frankly, you know, you just don't have the testing capabilities to test every student and figure out, you know, okay, well, do you have it? What do you have it? You just can't do it. So there are probably a handful of students who are walking around who don't know they have it, that have it as well. And so it's a tricky deal. You know, it's a tricky deal, but hopefully K-State can get it under control you know, the best of their ability. And they can, and hopefully the football team can reduce it or prevent it, excuse me, from spreading and can keep it can find. And then just hope, this is the other thing, just hope that the other schools can figure it out. Hope that Texas Tech can figure it out. Hope that Oklahoma can figure it out. That Baylor can figure it out. Because even if one of those schools can't figure it out, that'll throw the Big 12 season out. And it doesn't even matter what case they did. So it's going to be interesting next week, 2 weeks, Eddie, to see what these tests come back like in the future. But hopefully K-State can get it under control on campus, because that'll be the key to getting an under control football team.
Yeah, and I find it interesting also, listening to one of the episodes of the game, John Kurtz here in town, 93.3, 1350 came in. One of the episodes he was talking about, you know, like you were talking about, the testing, and it's the cycle, it starts back over. So I find that interesting. I thought, you know, it was like once a week, but yeah, they're doing this constantly, just doing a cycle. We have to go back, get tested positive, well, test negative, once again, the process starts over. So yeah, it's gonna be interesting. Game week, right around the corner here in Manhattan, Kansas, with Arkansas State coming to town, as we think, we hope so, but at the same time, anything can happen, especially, it's been well documented in all the podcasts, wherever you, sports podcasts you listen to, whether it's this one or others, but yeah, so we'll see, we'll definitely keep an eye on it, especially here in Riley County, Manhattan, Kansas, with what's been happening around here, so hopefully K-State can continue to, I guess the right word is, I guess, continue to be more disciplined about this thing and follow the rules. Don't get too careless with it. And maybe, and hopefully we can see a game on the September 12th. Now, speaking of which, to the gridiron, finally, there's been some names that have been making some things happen for September 12th. And again, going back to the quarterback situation that we've harped on all summer long on the Purple Project, Alex, Will Howard has made his presence known already, and he made it clear, I believe it was either last week or the week before, that he, and even with, I know I'm looking too, and I do not like to look that too far down the road, I know we have the four-star recruit coming here next year, and Jake Rubley. But right now, Will Howard apparently has been doing some work on and off the field, and he said he want to play. This guy wants to play. So obviously, me and you, we haven't seen Will Howard play yet, and we haven't even seen a snap yet, so for that matter. So, but apparently, from what I've heard, from what people have told me, what I've heard on the radio station here in town, a couple of podcasts, K-State podcast that I've heard, Will Howard's been doing well also. We talked about Deuce Vaughn on the Pro Project podcast, the speedster showing out as well. So that's, I'm going to focus on just those two on the offensive side right now. But Alex, well, I know we haven't seen these guys, obviously, but right now these guys, these freshmen making a name for themselves right now. Will Howard saying, catching my attention a little bit, saying, I want to come here and play. I don't want to ride the bench. That's really what every quarterback wants. They want to play. They want to come in and start right away. So what are your early thoughts here on these guys? I know we talked about a little bit on Deuce Vaughn, but not much on Will Howard yet.
Yeah, well, you know, Eddie, I think that if people are really like, oh, you know, is that really happening? Well, I mean, just listen to Chris Klieman talk about Will Howard and Deuce Vaughn. Every time you talk, they're like, so who's standing out in practice right now? The first two names that seem to come to his mouth every single time are Deuce Vaughn and Will Howard. So he's clearly high on them. He clearly is a fan. And you're right, Eddie. You know, K-State, they've got depth at quarterback next year, and there's a handful of directions that they could go at the quarterback position. But based on, you know, what Chris Klieman has been saying, you think, well, Howard would have as good a shot as any, because he sure seems to be a fan of his game. And you would think that he would have as good of a shot as any. you know, he does. You're right. He wants to play, and he's been vocal about that. He wants to play immediately, and that's a sign of a competitor, and that's what you want. You want somebody on your team who is a competitor, who thinks they're the best. Not cocky, but confident. And he seems to have all of those characteristics and all of those traits. And look, Eddie, I've been a fan of him since they recruited him. I mean, I think he's a really good quarterback. I think he could fit really well into Coach Kleiman's system. I really think that he could be a really, really good quarterback. Not calling him a Carson Wentz. No. Not calling him a Carson Wentz. I think he could play, the kind of role that Carson Wentz played up in North Dakota State for Coach Kleiman. I think that he has the tools to run the offense at a similar level for him here at K-State. And so, that's a good thing. Will he play this year? No. I think we all know that this is Skyler's team. It's going to be Skyler's team. I can't see any scenario of that changing unless Skyler gets hurt. Man, I don't.
Or gets tested positive for COVID.
No, that's a great point. He gets hurt or he gets tested positive for COVID and has to miss a couple games. That's a great point. That's a great point, Eddie. We legitimately do have to think about that. Is that there could be more guys miss time? Number one, because guys testing positive for the coronavirus, and number two, there's going to be more soft tissue injuries this year, Eddie. And it's just going to happen. It's going to happen in college. It's going to happen in the NFL. I've been saying this since day one. It's just going to happen. And K-State, a team that loves to run the football, that could possibly leave you a little more prone to those soft tissue injuries. So we'll just have to see. But either way, those would have to be the ways that Will Howard would get on the field. I do think that there's a good chance that he would be the guy who would come in and take those reins, but this is, like I said, this is Skyler's team, and he's the leader of the team, and regardless of how high on Will Howard that Chris Kleiman may be, he knows that he's got to roll with Skyler Thompson, gives him the best chance to win this year. The team loves him, and so that's obviously what you got to do. But it's great to hear him talking, Coach Kleiman talking about a quarterback who is a freshman, the way that he's talking about him. And, that could give K-State potentially, 3 years of a starting quarterback if things pan out right for him. That's a good thing. So that's all great to hear. Now you flip to Deuce Vaughn, and you're right, we talked about him a little bit. Because I talked a little bit, I've heard some comparisons to, he's got a little Darren Sproles in him. Not that he is Darren Sproles, but he's got a little Darren Sproles in him, in his game. And that once again, would fit great in the K-State's offense if he did have that type of skill set. And I think that, once again, Eddie, that name comes up every time people talk about who's standing.
Every time, yep.
And well, Deuce Vaughn. Mm-hmm. I mean, you hear it everywhere. I see it on Twitter. I hear it in press conferences. The dude's going to play, Eddie.
Yeah, he's going to play.
It's going to happen. He is going to play. This year's going to be interesting because K-State's really pretty loaded at the running back position. I don't know if loaded is the right word. They have a lot of depth at the running back position. So, it'll be interesting to kind of see, what he can do this year. But I expect him to get some touches this year, Eddie. We have the game against Arkansas State. I expect him to get touches against Arkansas State. I do. I expect him to be on the field and get some touches. I mean, I think that it can happen. How much will he play in Big 12 play? I'm not sure. I still think that, K-State's good enough for the most part, Dracady Wright, Joe Urban, Harry Trotter. I really think that they like that combo. But I still think that Chris Kleiman is creative enough to where if he really thinks that Deuce Vaughn can make an impact on this team. He'll find a way to get him on the field and get the ball in his hands and come up with something creative. So it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see, but obviously good things. It's good things to have freshmen performing the way they are. We obviously can't see it. We've talked about this before. We just don't have the same type of access that we would have in years past to this types of things.
Right.
But I trust Chris Klieman. He's not one to, you know, just you know kind of a smokescreen. Not only that he's trying to fool us with what he's saying, I believe that those guys are balling out, and that's a great thing for K-State, and it's a great thing for the future and even this year. If you have the injuries and you need guys to step up, you know that you've got guys that Chris Klieman has confidence in to be able to make plays.
Yeah, that is right on the money with that. And on the flip side, this name has really been floating around, especially lately, none other than Wyatt Hubert's counterpart. And we all know what Wyatt Hubert can bring to the table. We talked about it all summer long since the Purple Project podcast started. The summer Wyatt Hubert is capable of, but his defensive buddy, Khalid Duke, has been getting a lot of praise. And obviously we saw him bits and pieces last year for that defense, which is now Joe Klannerman's, the defensive coordinator now for K-State. For all the K-State Nation people out there that been sleeping under a rock all summer. But Khalid Duke has from Georgia, and he was the third down specialist last year, now has the opportunity to be that guy, that difference maker, to take that pressure off of Wyatt Hubert. Obviously, he's going to draw up double teams. We know that. He's an impact player. But who can step up? And I'm sure by now, we've talked about this a lot on the podcast, Alex. But this guy, this name, Khalid Duke, everybody's high on in practice. Wyatt Hubert even talked about it a little bit in his press conference last week, that Khalid Duke is showing out in practice. So this is big for that defensive line that lost a lot of talent. Obviously, they have Hubert back there on the defensive front, but if Khalid Duke can do what he's doing in practice, translate it to the game, this is huge for K-State on the defensive front.
Absolutely. Absolutely huge. And just as a little refresher for people, last year he did play in 7 games. So he does have some experience. He's been plugged in there. And he, as you mentioned, he was really primarily a third down guy, a third down kind of pass rusher, I guess you could say. Would see him more against the pass than he would against the run. He had 7 tackles. He had 3 for loss. He had a couple sacks. So, you know, he took advantage of the opportunities that he had last year. And he had a nice game against Navy, actually, in the Liberty Bowl, and he had a couple tackles for loss in that game as well. So, you know, he was already trending up, and you look at, once again, you hear so many good things about what he's doing. And as you mentioned, you know, K-State loses some guys, and they need someone to step up. And, Khalid Duke seems like he could fit that mold. You know, young guy, sophomore, what, weighs a little under 250. You know, has the build, and so I think that the sky is the limit for him and what he could do. Absolutely could be a breakout guy. And if you can get production from him, you talked about the double teams on Wyatt. If you can get production from him, that would just put so much more stress on that offensive line. And then all of a sudden, you know, they're trying to figure out, you know, okay, can we afford to double Wyatt every play? And then if you're trying to, you know, take a guy off, and you know, you think you need to throw, you know, you need to throw a guy somewhere else, and you leave Wyatt 1-on-1, that's problems. I mean, that's problems for the other team. So, and that's a win for K-State. That's a win for K-State, even if they can, get Wyatt 1-on-1 with someone. So, if he can come out, and he can ball, and he can play, and he can, put pressure on that, the offensive line, that'd be huge for K-State. That'd be huge for K-State, and it would be another step for them in being able to develop a really, really nice Big 12 defense.
You're listening to the Purple Project Podcast.
You know, obviously, we talked about last week on the podcast, Walter Neal transferring in the transfer portal for K-State. But I want to mention his name again. Another transfer, graduate transfer from Minnesota, who we talked only a snippet on his podcast, Keandre Thomas, who, of course, started four games last year for Minnesota, who were ranked a top 10 team in the country in the Big Ten. And obviously, we know what the Big Ten is this year. They ain't playing a game. And sorry to go off the tracks here. There were talks already. I think it was over the weekend about Big Ten. At least for the Big Ten. I haven't heard nothing for the Pac-12 yet. But the Big Ten could be playing spring season. That's a whole other conversation for another podcast. I just want to throw that in there. But Keandre Thomas, Minnesota grad transfer, coming over from a top 10 team in the country. Now, can he be that guy that starts in place of Walter Neal?
And it adds to what we talked about last week, Eddie, about, K-State really having offense. Them having depth at different positions on, throughout the roster. Something that they really lacked on the kind of back end of Coach Snyder's time is they didn't have that, they didn't have all that, that depth. And there were some talks that Walter Neal may have left because he saw the writing on the wall. He saw the writing on the wall that I'm not going to get the playing time that I caught in the past because that depth was really building up in that DB room. And I want to go somewhere where I'm going to be able to play more. And looking at, the corners and the defensive backs that are on this roster, that could be possible. It's hard to know. It's hard to say because, as I mentioned last week, we haven't been able to see this team up close the way we would have in the past. But they're with the one thing we do know is there's a good collection of players there. There's a good collection of players there at the defensive back position. And anytime you can get a transfer from a top 10 school. That's a big thing. K-State, the competition's good, and there's absolutely an opportunity that he could be the guy that emerges and is starting out there. But ultimately, we'll have to see. The one thing that we know is that Coach Kleiman, Joe Klanderman, and Van Malone. They're going to run the guys out there that they have the most confidence in, and look, they're going to have different packages, and they're going to have different guys for those packages, and try to keep guys fresh and rotate them in. That's a little less applicable at the corner position, but look, they're still going to. I think they proved it last year. They're not just going to throw out two corners, three corners, and say go get them. just go get them every play. That's just not the way that they roll. They're going to look at, what's the best matchup, what's the best package for this scenario, and go with it. So, at the very least, you've got some depth there, and maybe you've got a starter.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens. We'll keep an eye on that for sure. They definitely have depth back in the back end for K-State. We've talked about that already this summer, and we're in the last day of August. When this episode comes out tomorrow, it'll be the first of September. Man.
I don't even know where it's gone. I don't even know where it's at. This has been the slowest and the fastest 4 months of my life. Both at the same time.
Wow. So I'm going to throw this in here real quick. I just saw this on my Twitter feed as I was getting ready for to start this podcast here tonight. So we talked about last week on the episode, we talked about K-State and their fans percentage for the home games this year. So KU, right? All right, so no fans in the stands this season, starting September 12th against Coastal Carolina, and KU, they don't have no fans to begin with, so it's business as normal, right?
That's right. And I just want to say, first, I'll get to that in a second. I did see that, but I saw Puka Williams say about Coastal Carolina. I believe that's who that first opponent is.
Yeah.
He was like, yeah, you know, we knew they got us a couple years ago. You know, that's why we scheduled them. You know, we scheduled them to, you know, to get revenge. You know, we scheduled them to show them, you know, that was intentional. You know, we want to get them back. And I'm thinking, Puka, do you realize how stupid that sounds? You're like, oh, you're trying to talk all big, bad talk about scheduling Coastal Carolina because you lost to them a couple years ago. That's not a good look, Puka. I don't know why you're bragging about that. Like, oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, you know, that's KU. You know, we'll get revenge on Coastal Carolina. Like, oh, I'm real scared. You know, good trash talk, Puka. But anyway, aside from that, I just thought that was dumb, Eddie. I just saw it and I was like, why are you bragging about that? You lost to them. I never want to hear about K-State's loss to North Dakota State ever again that they had in 2013 to Coach Klieman. I think it was 2013.
Oh boy, bad memories. Bad memories. I called that game. Bad memories.
Call that game. Oh my gosh, I was there, and that was just like, that was awful. I don't want to ever play them again. I don't want to ever see them again. I don't want anything to do with them again. I don't want to hear about the game again. I'm just glad that Chris Klieman's on our side now. Mm. So I don't get. And look, North Dakota State is way better than Coastal Carolina as well.
Okay. Yeah, they're way better than Coastal Carolina.
I mean, that's not even comparable. But yeah, I don't know what he's bragging about. But anyway, getting to your initial point of no fans. You're right, KU. You know they're going with no fans, and so it should be no different. You know, it's gonna be like the LA Chargers. You know, LA Chargers. You know, they picked up and left San Diego, and they went to Los Angeles, and there's no fans in the stands. So you know what? That's actually gonna be an advantage for the Chargers because they're not gonna have all the opponent fans in the crowd. So every game won't be a road game for them. At least they'll get 8 neutral games. You know, but KU a little different. Some fans are like, "Man, I'm not going to go to Lawrence and watch us play." Unless it's K-State, of course we will. But yeah, it's just gonna be another day for KU. Just another regular game for them. But no, ultimately, I was a little surprised, to be 100% honest, Eddie, by that news. You know, with K-State going to 25%, I figured that KU would follow with something similar. Just because I thought the two schools would stay consistent on what they did. Not that they have to, but I just thought that they would. You know, I thought that not that the Kansas Board of Regents has any say in it, but I figured, you know, if K-State did one thing, KU would say, well, you know, we'll use that as a model and we'll do something similar, and then vice versa. I thought if KU did something first, and K-State would probably come out with something similar as well. But, you know, KU clearly doesn't feel comfortable about having fans in the stands, and, you know, that's their prerogative. You know, in the NFL, I think there's only 5 of the 32 teams who are going to have fans in the stands to begin the season. So, it really does vary school to school, team to team, and so you know, we'll kind of see how that happens, and maybe they change course as the season goes on. But you're right, Eddie. Not much is going to change for KU with no fans because I see a pretty empty stadium for a lot of KU games. So, you know, it'll be business as usual for them.
Yep, that's right. So, Kansas, yeah, we go about your business about having absolutely no fans in the stands. Now, Big 12 odds to win the Big 12. So, getting closer to the end of the podcast, Eddie Greer, Alex Aiden, Pearl Project Podcast. All right, so, odds to win the Big 12, somebody tweeted it out. I caught this, like, at the last minute, I put it into my notes sheet. So obviously, Oklahoma 5-4 odds to win the conference this year, followed by Texas at 8-5. Then Oklahoma State, they're sitting there 7-1 favorites to win it. Iowa State 16-1. TCU 25-1. Baylor 30-1. Which, yeah, I don't understand that one. Then K-State or Wildcats fall with Tech who has a bunch of apparently positive tests is going rolling through it, surprisingly. K-State, Texas Tech, West Virginia, sitting there at 100-1. And then, lonely Kansas, 500-1. So, Kansas doesn't matter. They're out. So, okay. So, just looking at that and taking Kansas out of the mix. So what are your quick thoughts on the odds to win the Big 12? Obviously, OU stands out, obviously. And what do you think? I would have put Oklahoma State in front of Texas, obviously, there. Because Texas, you don't know where they're going to get. We talked about it on the podcast there. So, what are your initial thoughts on that?
No, that doesn't make sense. I think that anybody who follows the Big 12 relatively closely would agree that that Oklahoma State has a better team than Texas does. You know, Texas, yeah, they may have the better odds, but I really believe that's really because of the brand more than anything. I could be wrong about that. Maybe Texas ends up having a great year, and Oklahoma State ends up disappointing. But Oklahoma State, they got a really good team. You know, I think that they are going to be able to not necessarily dethrone Oklahoma, but maybe push them a little bit, make it a little uncomfortable for them. So, don't agree with that. Second thought, and people are probably getting sick of hearing me say this, but I just don't exactly understand the TCU love. I don't know if there's something I'm missing. Maybe there is. There probably is, Eddie. I'm probably just missing something totally glaring. And then, TCU is going to come out and just ball out, and I'm going to look like an idiot at the end of the year. But I don't understand the mild, as I said last week, the mild hype around TCU. I don't understand why everything has them ahead of K-State. I don't understand why they're ahead of Baylor either. And I understand Baylor has a new coaching staff, but they took a lot of talent on that team. And so, you know, I don't understand that. Oklahoma's obviously accurate. Iowa State, you know that they'll, you know, that seemed about right for them. And at the bottom, Tech and West Virginia, in some form, I would say maybe Tech 8, West Virginia 9 would be my, you know, would be the way I would list it out. And obviously KU 10. So, pretty similar, honestly, with the Big 12 standings. Some of it seemed right. Some of it, seemed a little wonky. But, either way, it gives K-State an opportunity to prove the doubters wrong, especially people go back and listen to our episode a couple weeks ago where we broke down the schedule to where if K-State, if they can take care of business and things break right, they could really get off to a hot start in Big 12 play and have some really big games down the stretch. You could say that the schedule sets up well for them if they can take care of business there early on. So, if they can do that, then just put even more pressure on those the TCUs and the Baylors and the Iowa States and Texases and teams like that. So, but ultimately we'll see what happens. Every year the Big 12 proves that it is an unpredictable conference, and we don't know. The one thing, there's two things that you can always. Well, actually, there's three things you can bank on, Eddie. Number one, Texas, always going to be overrated. Every single year, can always bet on that. Number two, Iowa State, always going to go 7-5. Just mark it down now. They're going to go, well, they can't go 7-5 this year, Eddie. So
they can't go 7-5.
This year. It's impossible. They can't go 7-5. So maybe, I don't know, maybe they'll go 6-4. I don't know. And then the third thing is, K-State's always picked at the bottom, and they always finish higher. That seems to happen nearly every single year as well. So, those are the things you can count on. And, I expect Texas to do what Texas does. And I expect Iowa State to be above average. Not great, not on level of Oklahoma or Oklahoma State. But I do expect them to be able to have the talents and the coaching to beat anybody on a good day. And I do not think K-State's going to finish 7th. So, there you go.
You're listening to the Purple Project Podcast.
Alex A. Greer, Alex A. and the Purple Project Podcast, coming to the end of this episode, and it's time for the overtime segment. Originally had, and I'm going to push this back, Alex, to next week. I originally had on the list, what's your favorite spot in to eat in Manhattan, or where you're living in Manhattan, but I'm moving that to next week. Huge news at LSU to close out the podcast. The defending national champions, LSU Tigers. They might not have a team much longer. More guys opting out. And then today had Tyler Shelvin, defensive tackle, is also announced to opt out, according to today. Actually, a few hours ago, Tyler Shelvin told coaching staff, the LSU staff, that he was planning on opting out. But the bigger news, former teammate, Jamar Chase, the top wide receiver coming in to college football this year, LSU loses him. Chase says he wants to opt out to focus on the NFL draft. So huge loss for them. Obviously, they lost all that talent. Joe Burrow was also named starter, or obviously for the Bengals for their Week 1 matchup. I don't know who they're playing against. Edwards Solaire, I must have missing that backwards, is with the Chiefs.
Yep.
Okay, so he's going to be playing a lot. But yeah, so interesting news there coming at LSU there. And I know it's during the pandemic there. I very was intrigued there by that decision there. For Jamar Chase, obviously, the SEC is playing football this year with the ACC and, of course, the Big 12. Yeah, so you're already playing, and now you're not going to play at all. I get what he's doing, but at the same time, I mean, you probably, if you wanted to go to the NFL draft, you should have did that earlier, in my opinion, instead of waiting until the very last minute to make that decision, if you know what I mean. So I don't understand that. Even if there was no pandemic, I mean, you gotta make if you wanted to go to NFL sooner, could have made that decision a lot more earlier and went out with Joe Burrow and the rest of the other LSU players, that 100 LSU players that got drafted in this past year's NFL draft. So, and besides LSU, I think two more other players opted out as well. Defensive lineman Neil Farrell and defensive back Kerry Vincent also opted out. So they might not have a team coming in this year, and they're supposed to be playing at home against Mississippi State later on. Well, actually, it's September 26th, their home opener against Mississippi State. Actually, their season opener, actually. And prayers to, and while I'm on that topic, prayers out to those who've been affected by the hurricane down there in Louisiana and Texas. So, want to keep them in our prayers this week. But yeah, Alex, LSU, four more players, including the best wide receiver, who was the best wide receiver in the college football, decides, I'm going to focus on the NFL draft.
Yeah, well, Eddie, first off, you right, obviously, prayers for everybody that was affected by the hurricane down there. I said it from a couple months ago, worst case scenario during the coronavirus is if a really bad hurricane hit and displaced a bunch of people, and unfortunately that happened, but Louisiana and Texas seem to be rising up to the occasion to try to bounce back from Hurricane Laura, and I think Tropical Storm Marco actually came and hit right before that as well. But getting back to the football thing, you know, Eddie, that's a good point. I mean, you know, whether, you know, LSU, they got a lot of really good players, but you've seen a lot of opt-outs, and you've seen some opt-outs around college football. And I think, Eddie, that unfortunately, what's going to happen is that this is going to become more common. You know, players have to get 3 years of eligibility. Play 3 years to go to the NFL. And I think that there may be some players that say, you know what, I'm not risking it.
with college, and I'm just going to sit out the season and just get ready for the draft and move on. And I think it started. I think we were kind of teetering that direction in the first place, Eddie. And then when the coronavirus came, players all of a sudden started to opt out.
Right.
Talking about the coronavirus being the reason. And I thought, okay, this could maybe open the door for some players maybe opting out to see it as an opportunity to use it as a reason to opt out, to really just prepare for the NFL draft. And then you saw some players just straight up just opt out and say, I'm just opting out to get ready for the NFL draft. It's not necessarily that I'm, concerned about the coronavirus, but look, with all everything that's going on in college football, it's just what I'm going to do. And so I think that it's going to lead to more players in years to come just saying, I'm just opting out this year, and I'm just going to get ready for the NFL draft, and that's going to be that. Now, players are going to build, they may have to play that first year, that second year, to really, build up their stock. But once a player has their stock built up, I could absolutely see players following the beginning a trend of, once you have that stock built up, you sit out until you're eligible to go to the NFL. And then it may force college football to reassess their rules.
Yeah. Good point. That's a good point.
Yeah, maybe they can't allow players to stay, 3 years. So, personally, I think it's opening the door to that. And look, players are entitled to make the decisions that they want to make. Some of these players are making business decisions. They got millions of dollars on the line. You can't fault players for making decisions like that. But it all started with the bowl games, Eddie. Bowl games. If it wasn't a college football playoff or a national championship or something like that, they were gonna you saw a lot of players starting to sit out and not take the risk. And I think that we were already starting to head in that direction of players sitting out the regular season. And then I think that coronavirus is going to speed that up a little bit, because you're just gonna have players opt out because of the uncertainty of the season, which we've seen. And then I think you'll just see players opting out every year in future seasons, even without a pandemic, just to protect their stock. So it's going to be interesting to see. It's going to be interesting to see the ripple effect of it, Eddie, but that's the direction that I see it going. And if that is the direction it ends up going, like I said, the ball might end up back in college football's court on, okay, well, what do you want to do from this from a rules standpoint? Do we want to change this, these rules, or do we want to continue to roll the way it is? So, but either way, it's going to be something, I think, to continue to watch and see how many more players opt out this year, and particular players who have an NFL future, and then next year, so see what happens next year. How many players decide next year, I'm just done, so. But we'll see. It's interesting. It's interesting, and we'll just have to see what happens, Eddie.
Yeah, that's where we'll have to continue to monitor this as the season gets closer for college football. Back to K-State real quick before we close out the show. K-State volleyball set to open up their 16 Big 12 conference schedule on September 25th. The schedule came out, I believe, yesterday. I just actually pulled it up right now. I wanted to mention this before we close out the show. Susie Fritz and company, they're going to be playing an all-conference schedule. And I kind of like the whole two-game back-to-back schedule they got going on here, Alex. So they're going to start off their season at home against Iowa State September 25th through the 26th. Back-to-back games against the same opponent. And they're on the road against West Virginia October 1st and the 2nd. They don't play again until mid-October 16th and the 17th at home, back here at home against Texas. And then a couple days later against OU comes to town October 22nd, 23rd. I'm going to go ahead and finish the schedule. Then rival KU at KU. October 29th and the 30th, back-to-back in Lawrence. Then Texas Tech, you go there, In the month of November, November 6th and 7th, TCU comes to Bramlage, I believe, November 13th and the 14th, and then Baylor on the road to close out the schedule November 20th, before Thanksgiving, November 20th and the 21st at Baylor. So back-to-back games against your conference foes there. Iowa State at home, Texas at home, OU at home, TCU at home, and then on the road, West Virginia, KU, Tech, and Baylor. And keep in mind, folks, this is the round robin. They're going to be playing the same opponent twice. Find it interesting. So this is not for those Wildcat fans who are listening. This is going to be back-to-back at home. You're not going to get the home and away. This is back-to-back. Either it's home or away. So very, very interesting how this is setting up there for Susie Fritz, K-State Company, and the rest of the Big 12, at least on the volleyball front.
You know, it kind of has a little bit of a baseball feel to it, Eddie. And the way it's set up, it kind of feels like baseball, you know, and a little mini series, you know, a little two-game set throughout there. But you know, it's great for volleyball to get back. Coach Fritz always does a great job with that team. And, you know, open up against Iowa State on the 25th, you know, it's going to be a lot of fun. To see them get out there and do their thing and against a quality opponent like Iowa State. So it's going to be fun. It's going to be really interesting to see the way this schedule works. As you mentioned, it's not necessarily going to be this home and home. That'd be way too much travel if you really think about it. But, it's going to be, little two-set, a couple matches at home against somebody and then a couple matches in the road. Get somebody, and so it's going to be fun to watch. I expect them to come out and to really perform and to play at a high level. Once again, that gets back to Coach Fritz. I think that she's going to have them prepared to play. Anybody who knows Coach Fritz knows that one thing about her teams is they are prepared, and that is something you don't have to worry about. So I expect her to come out and do a good job with her team and for them to come out and have a good showing against Iowa State to begin the season, and then hopefully they can gain a little momentum and win some games moving forward.
So we haven't talked much about volleyball, obviously, but we've been talking about them a little bit on the show. That's what it's all about, trying to keep up to date on what's going on. Obviously, the big focus on football right now, but trying to keep our eyes peeled on volleyball, which you're going to be starting later on next month. September. It's going to be September tomorrow when this podcast comes out tomorrow night. Man, football hopefully is around the corner, and man, things are picking up on and off the football field for K-State Chris Klieman. Practice is underway, preparing for Arkansas State September 12th, hopefully at Bill Snyder Family Stadium with the rule of the 25% rule for the fans for all home games this year. Any final thoughts, Alex, before I close this out?
Ultimately, Eddie, I think the biggest thing for me is, number one, my cat is being a pain in the butt now. We've talked.
Oh, boy.
I told you guys for about, three episodes now, hey, I got Elena, sorry if she, annoys you. I didn't say that this week. And then, lo and behold, that's the first episode that she decides that she wants to show her little butt. So Ella says hello to everybody who's listening in her own little way. But next week when we talk, Eddie, fingers crossed it'll be game week. And maybe we can actually, break down the game that's coming up on Saturday and take a look at the matchup. Yeah, that's exciting. We're to that point. And fingers crossed that we can get to that point and be able to have a conversation about an opponent and about a game. And hopefully we can have that conversation next week.
Hopefully, yeah. Boom, you nailed it right on the head. Next week, hopefully, yeah, we're going to have to do a little studying up on Arkansas State. So
that's right.
So, yeah, I told myself that. Yeah, I told myself that yesterday. Man, I'm going to have to start doing some studying back again a little bit. Want to create some time to look up the opponent. So, yeah, definitely Arkansas State. Hopefully, yeah, here next week. Hopefully we can talk about them a little bit. Get ready for the game. Yeah, hopefully. Cross fingers. Hopefully K-State's testing policy continues to go discipline as planned, like we talked about here on the show tonight. So looking forward towards that. So very, very anxious and excited to hopefully have football. Obviously the Chiefs play in almost less than 10 days too. They play rematch of the playoffs there, where the Houston Texans blew a big ass lead against you guys.
24-0.
Wow. So yeah,
24-0 to 51 unanswered. Mm. No, 41 unanswered.
Yeah, it was four. It was something like that.
Not that much better.
Yeah. So yeah. So football hopefully is around the corner. NFL, the NBC promo, the Texans and Chiefs have been playing on NBC during the NASCAR race the other night. So that got me going. That got me pretty fired up. So football, hopefully, fingers crossed, Cat Wildcat Nation, Chiefs fans, we hope to get it. So it'll be interesting.
I just can't believe the Chiefs' first game's a week from Thursday. I can't wrap my head around it. I literally cannot wrap my head around the fact that I'm like this every football year. But I just am like, what the heck? Like I talked about, this has been the slowest 4 months and the fastest 4 months all in one. And it's like, oh my gosh, they just won a Super Bowl. They really, in a week and a half? Like, what? It just happened so fast. So, you know, but at the same time, no sports has just been, oh my gosh. So, getting, we're getting sports back, which is great. But obviously, of all my teams, the Chiefs are the most successful at the moment. So, I am very eager for them to kick off as the favorites to win the Super Bowl this year. We'll see if they can repeat, and I am eager to see if they can as well. So I am excited for football, and I'm excited for those. I've said it many times in the podcast. College football on Saturday, NFL on Sunday. That's a great fall weekend, Eddie. That is a great way to spend a fall weekend.
That is correct, Dan. We're going to end it just like that. Boom. All right, folks. Alex, we'll do this again next week, sir.
Sounds like a plan. I look forward to it, Eddie.
Awesome. Awesome. Ladies and gentlemen, it's another wrap for another edition of the Purple Project podcast this evening. Episode 18 is in the books. Be sure to look out for this episode tomorrow night and tomorrow, September. Man, it's been 2020. It's been something, so again, we'll keep our eyes and fingers crossed. I should say, be out on the lookout for what's been going on with K-State football as well as volleyball and other sports, as well as we are still dealing with this whole pandemic issue for Wildcat fans. So still, continue to follow the rules, be safe, stay healthy, and bring on the Cats. But for right now, for Alex Aiden, Eddie Greer III, thank you for listening to the Purple Project Podcast, episode 18. Bring on the Cats, and we'll talk to you soon. We'll see ya. I'm gonna go get some more.
to the Purple Project Podcast. Get it wherever podcasts are found on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Audio Boom, and more. We'll talk to you on the next edition of the Purple Project Podcast.